The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you. 2 minutes past nine. That's an early start for the day. I'm going to need a rest. It's Thursday morning, the 19th of November 2020. I think I'm basiling today. It's the full Basil Fawlty. But look, sure, it's only the beginning of a crazy day ahead, and we're very happy to have you with us. Text 515551 and email Ryan at RTE.ie. I don't even explain it. You hear that? That's the tinfoil from the... Hang on a sec. That's the tinfoil from the... I wrapped up a bit of tea brack, which is fine. And then I have wipes because it's very sticky. And in case I was going to have it during the program, and I'll wait till I get to a piece of music and then I'll have my picnic and see how that works out for us. Right, what do we got for you today? Well, plenty to talk about this morning. I just see this. The people are kind of going, is it too early to? It's not too early to do anything. You see, this is the thing about the rules, are that there are no rules when it comes to something like Christmas. Christmas is a beautiful, spiritual, and oftentimes goofy time of the year. And you're allowed, and you should be allowed, do stuff. And I've always been saying this for a long time, where I'm going to have a long run into Christmas, and therefore, why shouldn't I encourage you to do the same? But I see a piece of CNN reporting that according to research, the holiday spirit, Christmas season, does brighten our mood. So why wouldn't you embrace that a bit earlier? The simple reasons why we can enjoy ourselves a bit more by putting up decorations, listening to a certain kind of music. This can affect your mental health. And it appears that it's related to childhood and nostalgia and looking back in time and thinking, oh, that's nice. I remember that, and therefore it puts me in a good mood. Oh, there we are. It puts me in a good mood. And we habituate, they say. You kind of get used to any setting you're in. But when we introduce new things into our environment, it stimulates our senses. And our senses are, of course, the wiring to our entire physiological system. So when we introduce colour and light and sound, the sound of music around Christmas time, the taste, etc., it makes us feel good. What I'm trying to say is get the decorations out, get busy, go ahead. I'm not going to go for an early tree because I think I just don't want a sick, sad looking tree looking at me for 6 weeks. So I'll keep that fresh. But and I would never have a fake tree. I know some people like the fake tree. Fake trees. But that's fine. But I'm going to keep it fresh and you'll like the smell. So that's fine too. And the smells come from me for candles. Lovely Christmassy candles. Have them around the place already, which is good. You can have a diffuser with a Christmas twist. That's good too. So just get busy on that if you want to. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, I passed a few houses have the lights up outside. And good on them. What I'm not so sure about is the fact that they've released a song for Christmas, but not for you and me. It's for our cats and our dogs. It's called Raise the Woof, or the Woof. And you know I have a clip of it, don't you? You know I have a clip of it. I mean, it was mastered at Abbey Road Studios. I think this is what I find so offensive, where all the Beatles music was made, that they actually crafted a dog song for Christmas and in this rarefied, hallowed ground. According to its makers, the sounds on the track are the results of 2 months of work, during which time more than 500 noises were played to 25 dogs to narrow down the choice for the final track. This is the most Covidian Christmas track I've ever heard of, that they had the time to do this. And according to what they were doing, there was the signs of positive reaction to the song here included alertness, trying to discover where the sounds are coming from, head cocking, that's a new one, as well as tail wagging. Might as well. So what are we doing? Well, let's have a listen. I've had a little listen to this. There's a reggae feel to it. It says all the things. Your dogs are going to go mad now when I play this because there are commands for dogs. So this is Christmas. Might as well say COVID. And kind of just broad... broad mania and yeah, just yeah.
Squirrel! Sit. Sit.
Treat.
Dinner time.
Who's this? Who's this? Treat.
Sit. Sit.
Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Who's this? Who's this?
Would you like to go on walkies?
Sit.
Okay, yeah, the world, that confirms everything. The world has gone. And yet you can't help shaking the shoulder. And, you know, it's that sort of beat. You'd half expect Lily Allen to finish the song off, wouldn't you? It's got that feel to it. Any Road, that's Raise the Woof, or the Raise the Woof, the dog song. And if you want to download that, you can. Meanwhile, the journal.ie reporting that after all the talk of Dublin Zoo needing a few bob, they got £1 million, essentially, as soon as people... It goes to show how fond of the zoo and nostalgic about the zoo people are. They released a press release yesterday at 8:30, and they got €1 million within 12 hours. That's the power of the zoo and the animals. And the zoo posted a message last night saying, "Your kind messages and generous donations have really overwhelmed the entire team at Dublin Zoo. They're a great working, hard-working team there." And that is, I think that's a really nice story, and I'm delighted for them. The Irish Examiner's tribute to Gay Byrne has been named front page of the year at the News Brand's Ireland Journalism Awards 2020. So congratulations to our friends at the Irish Examiner. It was a beautiful front page. I'm looking at it here. It was really nice, and a great picture of Gay looking over kind of like a director's chair with his name on it. Looking over his shoulder with a quote from him saying, "It's been a fantastic carousel. I've enjoyed every minute of it. Thank you and good night." It's a really, really sweet cover. Thoughtful, warm and kind. I enjoyed that immensely. So congratulations to them. And indeed to Ruan McCormack, won the Lives Lost. For his Lives Lost series, he won the overall Journalist of the Year. So well done to him. That focused on people who died from the COVID-19 pandemic in Ireland and among the diaspora. And that, of course, is echoed on the Times front page this morning, which features, let me just pause for a moment and think about this. It is quite extraordinary when you see these faces of our fellow citizens like this, little passport-sized photographs on the front of the Irish Times. And you just think, when you watch the news every night, 5 died today, 3 died today. At the height of it, 100 people died. And I remember when the COVID thing was at its darkest point and when the numbers were horrendous. And I remember saying to my friends on the late, we need to stop talking about numbers. We need to see people. And we contacted them, some people whose families had passed. And I spoke to a few of them, and I remember getting into people's rooms and into their grief, because it was important to share that with people at home, to say, look, this is not just a number. These are people. I remember the people who worked as cleaners or had worked, who had just had a good life, long lived, and who were no longer with us. And they were brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and granddads and grandfathers and parents. And you see them here. I'm just looking at their faces. And obviously, they're nearly all smiling because they pick a nice picture to be remembered by, but all gone. And that number has reached over 2,000 now. For a long time, it was 1,777. It's now 2,006. And, you know, we keep talking about levels and shops and are we open or closed and can we? And of course, that's important for business, but we shouldn't lose sight of the awfulness of the sadness of that it was brought to people's doors in the last, not even year. It's a lot. I mean, in America, it's 250,000, as you'd expect of the population that size, but even still, it's ghastly. And just to the 2006 families this morning, I just wanted to wish you every good wish today on behalf of all of us here, because we just talk about numbers, but they're families and they're humans and they're fellow Irish men and women who deserve respect and dignity in passing. So I just wanted to mark that today as we cross that grim number that we're thinking of you this morning, and wishing you every respectful good wish today. Just to move it differently, in a different direction this morning, because we got a lot of reaction in the last few days to our conversation that we had earlier on in the week with Rachel, and she was talking about IVF and having children. And Caroline is a Sligo mum and a fourth year nurse, a student nurse, and she says, I'm in awe of Rachel, and she and her husband are amazing. This is coming from another mother who has four children. We know how blessed we are. Our children came easily. All we had to do was turn out the lights, but we feel blessed every day. And call me biased, but our children are beautiful young men and one lady and very considerate of others. But I can't begin to think of the toll that not having a child would have taken on myself and my husband. But I think people who go through of IVF are strong and self and unselfish. And you're amazing, and I hope your wishes come true. So that was a thoughtful message from Caroline. Thank you for that. But there were a lot of people who weren't as fortunate in life. We have people who got in touch to say that they tried it and it just didn't happen for them. And I was struck by one saying enjoyed the story today. It never worked for us after 7 years and five miscarriages. I'm 50 now and still greatly saddened at times. I'm probably over the age for adoption, but we are looking into fostering and we're hoping this might be the path we were destined for all the time. And I think that's a very, very kind way of looking at your own story. So wishing you every good wish this morning. The Irish Coast Guard were tweeting to say that they have coordinated and tasked units to 8 sea swimming incidents in the last 4 days. That's quite a lot. And they're saying that we're appealing to sea swimmers to check the weather and the tides before going for a swim. So go to watersafety.ie just to keep an eye on that. Mel Gibson, meanwhile, in movie news, confirming Lethal Weapon 5 is absolutely on the way. Is that good? Are you happy about that? Lethal Weapon 5? I'm still waiting for Shrek 5. I don't mind Lethal. There was talk of it for ages, and they didn't need to be filming on set for that. So where is it? Anyone know? Anyone help me on that? Shrek 5, where art thou? Just love the Shrek series. Stuart says, tea, Brack, yes, a cup of tea. Well, actually, I'm having coffee at the moment. And nice music, I'm working on that. You really are having your cake and eating. I am, and in the job of my dreams as well. So it's win-win-win. Thank you, Stuart, 51551. Okay, a lot of response for the dog song because obviously your dogs went mad. Knew this would happen, so we'll take a small flavour of it. Carl says, my sister's pup went absolutely ballistic when I played the song. Took him a whole hour to calm down. Oh, you played it earlier. So I wouldn't recommend it for young dogs. Breed in Galway says, I wanted to go walkies after that myself. No tail wag here. He just cried at me, but it is bad. Claire's Jack Russell, definitely interested. Golden Retriever snoring, not a sign of any reaction at all. Working from home says another, my dogs just went nuts looking for treats and a walk. Not a move out of our puppy, Rua. She obviously has good taste and prefers you. Or she's just bored. My golden Labrador, 10 years old. Poppy goes nuts when the song Love Cats by The Cure is played. And by the way, Christmas tree 1 of 3 is up. Oh, I like your house in the kitchen. It's artificial. Real one coming soon in December. Actually, this time of year, I love to watch Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall. You know that the guy from the River Cottage. And the episode is an old one, obviously, when he has longer hair. And I was watching the other afternoon, and he's killing rabbits because they're at his vegetables. And he hires 2 lads from the village that look like something out of a Roald Dahl book. And they come out with the guns, and they're like, "Are you are going to kill the cats?" And they go, "Shit!" And suddenly it's a cross between Watership Down and Goodfellas. I've never seen anything like it. It was a massacre. And they had these 3 old ladies from the I've never seen anything. Like, they were short of kicking the rabbits to death. And then they gut them and the pelts are out. And the Women's Institute were out gutting them and smiling and chatting as the innards are pulled out of the. It's country living, I suppose, but it was quite grisly. I couldn't stop watching. I played that song for my dog Buddy and he only reacted slightly to the squeaky toy. I've emailed you a video of his reaction. Thank you, Grace, and County Meath. I look forward to seeing that and seeing how Buddy is. Okay, 51551. Shrek is coming out. Shrek 5 is September 22nd? Is that right? September 2022. Oh, that's very disappointing. I'm going to need to eat some cake now. The man who wrote this beautiful song died about 48 hours ago. I mentioned him yesterday morning and I didn't have a chance to play the song yesterday, but I'm going to play it this morning because it's just too gorgeous. It's Elvis. Isn't that beautiful? That's Elvis Presley and In the Ghetto. I absolutely adore that song. Tomorrow night on the Late Late Show, among other things, with the wonderful Women in Harmony on the Christmas song, which is going to be gorgeous. And we also have a man who I've watched as a kid and older, Michael J. Fox, who you'll know from, of course, Back to the Future, but as a campaigner in the world of Parkinson's and other things, a remarkable person. And I'm very excited about talking to him in the tomorrow. And Mary Robinson, it's 30 years since she was elected President of Ireland. What an extraordinary time when you think back on that historic win. She will join us on the TV show tomorrow night, among many, many other things. Right, text, Pat is in Ballymoney. Ryan Acara, good morning. Every night on CNN, Jake Tapper, who I know well, I don't know the man, I watch him all the time, hosts The Lead. He remembers one person that has died that day from COVID, and he shows a few pictures of them with a short few words about their lives. And he always ends with the wish, may their memory be a blessing. It's a loving and caring moment. It sure is. And Gwen says, beautiful song, but all I can think of it as it plays is you eating your cake. And I'm singing along, eat a ghetto, instead of in the ghetto. That's nice, Gwen. It's really good. Cake was really good. Thanks for playing in the ghetto. It was one of Elvis' best moments. Here, here. Thank you for remembering ourselves and the 2005 other families who lost a loved one to COVID-19 this year. It's a tough year. And then Christmas coming down the tracks. Let's not pretend that life can be hard. We understand that. I think I'm going to read this email from the teacher. I'm reading it on site, so bear with me, but I'll go for it because it came into ryan@rte.ie. And the teachers, who I have a great fondness for, as you know, are in the news at the moment. So this is from an anonymous teacher who says, I just wanted to write this to you. I, for one, and many of my immediate teacher colleagues, do not care about two extra days at Christmas to boost morale or to let us see our families. I've resigned myself to the fact that Christmas will be different this year and we won't be able to see family and friends. That is no different from retail workers or healthcare staff. And that's okay. We're willing to suck it up this year. What I would ask is that the teacher bashing stops, as it's upsetting, says this teacher, and it's affecting morale. We are trying our best in strange circumstances with personal pressures everyone is dealing with. And not to go into a scale of, whoa, X Factor style, but I just want to give you an insight into my situation and those around me. I'm pregnant. My husband is out of work because of the industry he is in. I've had children with symptoms being sent into my class and testing positive for COVID. I was deemed a casual contact as their teacher and not given a test. I didn't make a fuss and I carried on because I love my job and I can honestly see how happy the children are coming to school again and socialising and seeing their friends. It's so important. Now, neither I nor my immediate colleagues ever want to go through online teaching again. It was enormously stressful, especially dealing with our own children at home and trying to correspond with 36 children and making sure they were learning on top of having bad internet. Anyway, shortly after the child tested positive in my class, my own toddler had to be tested because he developed a cough. And the staff in the hospital were amazing, but warned that a casualty was not the place for me to be as a pregnant woman. My husband had a job that day and grandparents are vulnerable, so I had no choice but to bring my child to casualty for a test. Thank God it was negative, but let's say my child didn't find it a pleasant experience being a very small child. I blame myself for him having to go through that. Colleagues have lost parents and family members due to COVID or have had IVF appointments cancelled. I just ask that the media remembers teachers aren't just a union. They are people with families and illnesses and issues of their own. And things have settled since, and I'm enjoying coming to work every day because the children need some sort of humanity at this time. But thanks for taking the time to read this. Be kind, and we'll all get through this together. That came in at 9:07 this morning. From a teacher, I suspect representing the voices of many, many teachers. I like that point she makes. We are not just a union, you know, because people say, the teachers. They're not the teachers. They're all individual people within very different stories. And it's like COVID, the numbers tonight. They're not just numbers, they're people. People are, you know, going through, with their families going through a very difficult time. And I'm just glad you reminded us of that this morning. And I've always felt that the teachers and the pupils have been the success story of the COVID experience because they got back to work and they got back to the classrooms. And yet it's been tricky here and there, but they've been extraordinary. And they have saved the mental health of these children and arguably this generation by their acts. It's been pretty impressive. And they're still going. As for where the 450 cases a day are coming from, I have no idea. I'm puzzled by that. I have no idea. I don't understand it because the NPHET folks don't seem to know where it's coming from either. It seems to be great confusion. It doesn't seem to be coming from shopping or from bars or restaurants necessarily. It seems to be probably back in the houses. Is it worth opening the shops, let people in if they're... We know how it works now. We know how careful we have to be. Just get busy again. But I'm not an expert. I don't know enough. So I just have to kind of roll until we know more. Now, we have quite a story for you coming up from a very, very good, nice, kind person who I know a little bit. And she's waiting patiently in the beautiful village of Roundstone, the lucky thing, looking out at the sea. And she's a story she's going to share with us very generously and bravely. And she's going to do that after this. At 28 minutes past, I mentioned in passing yesterday the Vincent de Paul annual appeal, svp.ie, and they reported back that small mention triggered a big response from you, and they got €30,000 like that, which is pretty extraordinary. And thank you is what I'm trying to say. I have a beautiful coffee table book in front of me called Irish Air Spectacular, unique collection of aviation photography over Ireland. You can imagine how beautiful that is. And it is features the work of the renowned aviation photographer Frank Grealish and others. And these images offer a unique air-to-air perspective of flight against the backdrop of our island. What a beautiful gift. But the great twist to this story is that profits from the sale of this book will go to Vincent de Paul. So that's a win all round. Irish Air Spectacular is the name of the book you're looking for there if you want to win.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Well, Kira says the text is so accurate when she says that trauma in childhood can affect you for years. I was very attached to my late mother and her death traumatised me. Many years later, I realised my attachment to her was because as a one-year-old in the 60s, I spent 2 months in hospital when the parents were discouraged from staying with their children. So I was separated from her for these 2 months and she... And the feelings of terror never left me. How about that? My goodness. Our son, Ruan, also died from cancer age 4. My daughter was 2.5 at the time. And like Kira, she keeps his memory alive and she talks about him all the time. She's only 13 now and is a very kind person. And I think that is because of her life experience. She'll go into a caring profession for sure. And we feel my son's presence in our lives. And we have had many signs from him. And I think talking about him and sharing stories is so important. Well, we'll think about you this morning in Ruan. And thank you for talking to us and sharing your story with us. My older brother says a text... And older sibling died at 31. I was 27. Everyone would ask how my parents were, but never ask me or aunts or uncles. Would show their grief to me, and I was suffering so bad. He was my rock and so much part of my own identity. It's very difficult. And David says, I can feel Kira's grief so much. I lost my brother in March of 06. It was 6 months after my dad died, and it's so hard. But sharing the good memories and the pain as well, that's what makes it easier even today. Send her my love and respect. I do know how she feels. Thank you for that, Dave. Thanks for all those texts this morning. Greatly appreciated. Last text. Children in Hospital Ireland is an amazing charity. My daughter was diagnosed with cancer over 5 years ago. Our daughter was feeling afraid. Her first trip to hospital. She was sore after the biopsy and we were trying to put on a brave face for her. But the first real smile was when Luke, the Children in Hospital Ireland volunteer, came in to play with her. And we still love to see those volunteers coming. They give the parents a chance for a cup of tea. And the kids love to have someone to play with. To link with another topic this morning, by the way, so many of these volunteers are young teachers who have such a lovely way with young children. So thanks to all the teachers giving the children a sense of normal during this pandemic. That's a lovely way to end our programme this morning. You can keep the emails coming if you wish to ryan@rte.ie. But for now, we urge you to stay tuned to Claire Byrne. Have a gorgeous day. Mind yourselves. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.